Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
You're listening to SBS News.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 7th of October, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell. The S&P ASX 200 off by about 0.27% to 8,956. 8 of 11 sectors were lower today. Consumer discretionary, one of the worst, down by about 1.3%. Telecommunications and property also weaker. But it does, however, follow a record close in New York, including the S&P 500 and the technology-based NASDAQ, which reached record highs. And while the ASX was down today, it is less than 100 points away from record territory too. For more on the day's market action, including that closer reach to a record on the gold price and a new competitor for the ASX listing market, I spoke with Todd Hoare. He's the head of public markets at LGT Wealth Management.
Well, Ricardo, it certainly feels a little bit euphoric, doesn't it? Equity markets continue to melt up. And it was that Fed rate cut a month ago after being on hold for probably the better part of the year. In fact, on hold for the better part of the year. What that did was it really galvanized investor sentiment, I think, towards equities, and in particular this soft landing or this Goldilocks scenario. Typically, when you get the resumption of US rate cuts, it comes amid some heightened recession and slowdown concerns. But really, for where we are at the moment, activity seems quite resilient. Data surprises are still positive, albeit at the margin they are weakening a little bit. And then obviously we have this huge AI tailwind that's proving very, very powerful for equities. And we've seen blowout results from Oracle. We've seen very strong results from Alibaba, momentum in their cloud and infrastructure divisions. And what that's done is it's really triggered, I guess, a broadening of this AI-backed rally from what was the epicenter being the US into parts of the Asian market. And so we're really seeing resilient earnings, a broadening in that AI thematic, and that's just underpinning this global sentiment towards equities.
To what extent, though, do you think there's the risk of a pullback, especially in the US? Because what we're now seeing is discussion about a delay in interest rate cuts in the US and Australia now too, but in the US predominantly. And isn't a lot of the gains that we've seen pinned on the rising hopes of AI? And there's this talk that it could potentially be in a bubble?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think we've seen over the last, I had a look at this data this morning, we've seen over the last 6 months that the return that we've seen in the US, it ranks in the top 1% of six monthly returns that we've seen over the past 20 years. So we should not be at all surprised, given where aggregate valuations are, if we do see a bit of a pullback. One thing I would just counsel a little bit is that there's obviously a lot of talk about these recent funding deals between NVIDIA and OpenAI, the owner of ChatGPT. Obviously, last night, as you alluded to, we saw AMD do a funding round with ChatGPT. And yes, that does warrant some caution because you have suppliers funding upstream. But that's not uncommon. So as Australians, we should be well aware that a lot of our mining operators, a lot of our energy, a lot of our oil and gas, our LNG, for years they've been funded, whether it be by offtakes or equity agreements with Chinese steel mills, Japanese trading houses. So it's not uncommon. Is it cautionary? Absolutely. And we should take note of it. But in and of itself, it's not necessarily a marker for a pullback. I think your point on AI dominance is well made. And when you think that since ChatGPT launched 3 years ago, I think now, or almost 3 years ago, 75% of returns have come from AI-related stocks and 90% of capital spending has been in AI-related stocks. If we do start to see any of those spending intentions slow down, I think that would be something to keep a very, very close eye on.
Something else to talk about, gold. It's approaching 4,000 US at the moment. What's your take on the metal?
I think you're seeing a broadening in retail in the retail investor base. And now that US rate cuts are on the table, gold is a non-yielding asset. It doesn't spin off any cash flow. And so whenever we start to see rates come down, the opportunity cost of holding gold is less. So that's a clear positive. I think in the shorter term, one of the things that will keep gold somewhat buoyant is that we have this US Supreme Court decision in the next 4 to 6 weeks on Trump's tariffs. Now, if they get struck down, those tariffs are a huge spending part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. And if they do get struck down, all of a sudden, all of that fiscal spending becomes unfunded. Then we have to start talking again about the sustainability of the US fiscal position. We have to talk about the outlook for inflation. We have to talk about the value for the US dollar. All of those things in the short term are probably quite constructive for gold, at least to hold its value over the next 4 to 6 weeks, I would say.
Let's focus on what I think might be the corporate story of the day, and that's ASIC approving the alternative exchange Cboe Australia to launch a listing market to compete with the ASX. So it basically means companies wanting to list on the share market in Australia will have the option to choose between the ASX currently and the new competitor Cboe. Can you run us through how significant this is and what does it mean for the ASX at a time when it too is facing a string of issues?
Well, I think it's potentially quite significant for the ASX. And you've seen a little bit of that today with the shares down. I think last time I looked 1.5 or 2%. That is 15 month lows in a market that's broadly, as you mentioned, at all time highs. And I think investors should be concerned about just how defensive the ASX's monopoly position actually is. So no company that I'm aware of would ever welcome competition. Particularly not CBOE, which owns Chi-X. They're 20% of total equity market turnover. So if they're able to lure new listings to its exchange, in turn drive greater turnover, then you might get this circuitous feedback loop that sucks volumes away from the ASX. As you point out, at a time where those participants are more than willing to shift their business because we've had ongoing operational and infrastructure issues. We've had governance issues over the past several years. And CBOE, even though it's only probably a quarter the size of the biggest exchanges globally, it's still three times as large as the ASX. It has a strong balance sheet. It's a flexible balance sheet. It's got a CEO who is very well regarded. And I think any participant would welcome ASIC's decision.
Is it something you'd use as a fundie?
Well, our execution brokers have been long-time supporters and users of Chi-X, so they will absolutely continue to use it. And I think more broadly, anytime you get a market backdrop that promotes competition, it promotes industry investment, it promotes lower prices, greater transparency, operational security. Anytime you get those types of outcomes, you'd be crazy not to support a potential alternative.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So we're still telling our clients to stay invested. We're looking for opportunities to deploy. We'll be the first to admit there haven't been too many of those opportunities over the course of the last 4 to 5 months. So it has been difficult to buy pullbacks that are non-existent. But I guess geographically, we still think the Japanese story remains a multi-year transformation story. Europe's actually, they're having to invest in defense, energy, infrastructure. They've been a bit of a laggard over the last, probably the last 6 or so months. And more broadly, we sort of touched on the topic of AI. If AI is not a bubble, then it needs to broaden, and it needs to be broadening beyond just the Magnificent Seven and their self-funding situation. So it probably means that smaller and mid-cap companies need to start to see the benefits of AI and the productivity benefits associated with lower labor costs and the like. So given where valuations are, we think that the risk reward for those smaller and medium sized companies probably looks a little bit better than the larger end of town at the moment.
It's Todd Hall there from LGT Wealth Management here in Australia. And he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe and to follow me across social media at Business Ricardo.